For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. The precious blood of Christ. There's nothing in this world more precious than his blood. And I have three truths tonight about his precious blood that I want to speak to us about. Christ's blood is precious because, first of all, of who he is. Second, his blood is precious because of what it accomplishes. And third, his blood is precious both to God and man. So first, Christ's blood is precious because of who he is. Who he is. At his baptism, you two young men are being baptized tonight, so was the Lord Jesus Christ so many years ago. He was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. And when he was baptized, there came a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Whose voice was that? Well, we know it was the voice of God the Father. It was God the Father's voice acknowledging that this man that John the Baptist baptized. At first, remember, John, he said, "I need to be baptized of you." He recognized the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I need to be baptized of you, and you come to me asking me to baptize you." And our Lord said, "Suffer it to be now, that we might fulfill all righteousness." And when he was baptized, as I said, there came that voice from heaven, the voice of God the Father, saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." But how can that be? How can that be that God's Son was baptized? God is spirit. Can a spirit be baptized? Can a spirit be put under the water? No. How can a spirit be baptized? Oh, but the eternal Son of God. The eternal Son of God. He who is one with the Father and with God the Holy Spirit had taken that body into union with his person. That holy thing, the angel told Mary, which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. His blood is precious because of who he is. He's not an angel manifested in the flesh. He is God Almighty, the creator of all things. And I would say this also, as the apostle did, not only is he the creator of all things, but all things were created for him. For his glory. All things are created for God's glory. Men try to reverse that order, and we get to thinking that everything is created for us in this whole universe. Everything is run for man. We've got that just backwards. Everything is for his glory. And everything will bring glory to God. The saved will glorify his grace. The lost will glorify his justice. But all men are created, and all things are created for his glory. No other motive would be worthy of God to create than his own glory. So first of all, Christ's blood is precious because of who he is. But second, Christ's blood is precious for its accomplishments. And I have, I believe, five things I want us to look at this evening that the blood of Jesus Christ accomplishes. It doesn't just try. It doesn't just give its best attempt to do these things. No, the blood of Jesus Christ actually accomplishes these things, these truths. First of all, His blood accomplishes the remission of the sins of His people. And I want you to look at these verses with me. Let's turn first to Hebrews chapter 9. Let me say that again. His blood accomplishes the remission of the sins of His people. And here in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, the apostle, and we believe, of course, it was the apostle Paul writing the letter of Hebrews, but he said, verse 22 begins with the word and. That's a connecting word, isn't it? And. Almost all things are by the law purged, washed with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Now, when he mentions the law, of course, he's speaking about the law that was given on Mount Sinai, that Old Testament dispensation. And he tells us, you notice, almost, he said, all things are purged or washed with blood. There are few exceptions. There were a few exceptions. Some cleansing, ceremonial cleansing, of course, was accomplished by washing in water. Almost, he said, and we know. And almost all things are by the law purged or washed by blood. As I said, almost. There were some exceptions. Some things were purged or cleansed by water. But, here's the point, but when it came to sin, when it comes to the remission of sin, there are no exceptions. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. His blood is precious because it accomplishes the remission of the sins of His people. What was commanded by the law, we read in chapter 10 of Hebrews, was just a shadow of good things to come. The blood of those animals that were sacrificed and offered under that old dispensation, they typically pictured the remission of sins. But the blood of Christ is precious because it doesn't just picture the remission of sins, it obtains the remission of sins of all His people. Look at another verse in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. Verse 14. We'll get to verse 20 in just a minute. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. His blood is precious to every child of God because His blood obtains the remission of sins. His blood washes away our sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, the Apostle John says, cleanseth us from all sin. The second thing, and this is Colossians 1 and verse 20, His blood accomplishes peace and reconciliation of the people, of His people with God. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. All who are given and have peace with God, All who are reconciled to God are so because of the blood of his cross. There is no reconciliation. There is no peace with God apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. When Christ actually shed his precious blood, the Old Testament saints, Abraham, Moses, David, all those who had lived and died, they were already in heaven. They were already there. Because God's faithfulness, knowing that Christ would come, that he would shed his blood in the fullness of the time, God's time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem us from the curse of the law. Even those saints who lived, they were not saved. They were not reconciled to God. They did not have peace with God through the blood of those animals, through their obedience to those sacrifices. No, it was only through the blood of Jesus Christ that anyone is reconciled to God. We were talking after the service this morning, some of us men, and the fact of Adam, the fact that he was holy when he was created, he was righteous, and then he fell, and then he was reconciled to God. We believe he was saved. He was reconciled to God. That peace that he had forfeited, he now had when the Lord clothed him with those coats of skins. The sacrifice of an animal, typical of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. How was Adam reconciled? How did he have peace again with God? Through the blood of Christ. There is no other way. His blood is precious because it accomplishes peace and reconciliation to God for all of his people. This is the reason if a person, you know, there's a lot of argument, not among God's people necessarily, but if the atonement is general, some people say, well, he died for all the sins of all men. I hear people say that, don't you? Hear preachers say that. Died for all the sins of all the people of the world. If I believe that, I would believe that everybody's going to be saved. I would have to believe that simply because of who he is. No, his blood accomplished everything that God intended. Everything that God purposed. And if men would just take the scripture and look at what the Bible says about the blood of Christ, what it accomplished, we would have to believe in what is called a limited atonement. That doesn't mean that the efficacy of his blood is limited. His blood is infinite in value. But the purpose of God from before the foundation of the world is accomplished. He accomplished peace and reconciliation for all of his people. Number three, his blood accomplishes the justification of his people. If you look in Romans chapter 5, what is justification? It is God declaring a person to be righteous, to be just. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Much more then, being now justified. How? By his blood. By his blood. And the emphasis here is on his blood. Being justified, much more being now justified, not by the blood of bulls and goats, not even by the blood of an innocent man, if that could be found, a man who was only a man and yet innocent. No. The emphasis is on the word his. His. Much more than being now justified by his blood. No one else's blood would do it, but his blood does it. His blood accomplishes the justification of all his people. All his people, all his chosen people are declared righteous, just before God Almighty, by God Almighty, because of the shed blood of Christ, the precious blood of Christ. Fourth, his blood accomplishes the ratification of the new covenant or the New Testament. Remember, the night before he was crucified with his disciples, he instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. He said, "This is my blood of the New Testament. This is my blood of the New Covenant." The same word, testament and covenant. Sometimes it's translated covenant, sometimes translated testament. But look with me in Hebrews 9. His blood accomplishes the ratification of the new covenant. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 17. For a testament, a man's last will and testament. I'm sure that many of us in this building, we have a written document somewhere, our last will and testament. And if you change your mind about that tonight, you can go tomorrow and change it. You can change it. Maybe you wanted to leave all of your goods to a certain person and they've done something that causes you to write them out of your will. You're free to do it. It's all yours until you die. But once a person dies, that testament cannot be changed. There's an executor of that will, and his responsibility or her responsibility is to make sure that everything is given out as the person who died wrote it out and wanted it to be done. And to be an executor of a will, I was talking to a brother just the other day. He told me he's the executor of his father's will. That's a very serious thing, I think, to be an executor, because you want to be so careful you do everything exactly as that person wanted to do. You want to honor them. But the point is here in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 17, the scripture says, for a testament, for a will, is a force after men are dead. Not before. Not before. You say, well, my dad has put me in his will, and I'm just going to go tell him I want you to go ahead and give me my part. He doesn't have to do that. He might. He may not. But if he's put you in his will and he dies, then whatever he willed for you, you should receive. But it's not in force until a person has died. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator lived. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ, he's the testator. He died. He shed his blood. He said, this is my blood of the New Testament, of the New Covenant. So all the testament is ratified with his blood, and all the promises that he has for his people are sure to be given, because the will has been ratified by his blood. And one of the promises is, and it is a great promise, I will be to them a God. If God is your God, and he is, if he's chosen you and redeemed you through Christ our Lord, you have everything. You can want nothing. You can want nothing if God is your God. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. My law will I write upon their hearts. They shall not depart from me, and I shall not depart from them. We have so many of those exceeding great and precious promises in that eternal covenant that the blood of Jesus Christ ratified. And the last thing, his blood accomplishes the opening of heaven to his people. If you look in Hebrews 10, and verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ is precious, for it opens heaven's doors to all his people. Now, in the passage here, what he was talking about, you know, in that tabernacle that God gave the instructions to Moses, it had two compartments. It had the holy place and it had the most holy place. And in that most holy place, that's where God resided. His manifest presence, the Shekinah, was between the cherubims above the mercy seat. And the only person who ever went in there, had a right to go in there, was the high priest. And he went in as a representative for all of Israel once a year, but not without blood. He would have been signing his death certificate, his death warrant, if he were to go in that Holy of Holies without the blood of that sacrifice. Well, the apostle tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ has opened up the way for us into the most holiest. That which was pictured, that which was typified by the Holy of Holies in that tabernacle, heaven itself, heaven's doors are swung open for his people by the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And third, Christ's blood is precious to whom? It's precious because of who he is. It's precious because of what it accomplishes. But to whom is the blood of Jesus Christ precious? Well, first of all, his blood is precious to God. It is precious to God, for with it Christ pleased his Father. He pleased his Father. He did the will of his Father perfectly. Absolutely, in laying down his life. The Father said, this is my well-beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well pleased. He was well pleased with his perfect obedience. His perfect obedience to the law of God, to God his Father. He perfectly obeyed. And in doing that, we know he established righteousness. And that righteousness is imputed to everyone that believes. That's the righteousness with which we may appear before God, dressed in those garments of salvation. That's his active, men say, that's his active obedience, and his passive obedience was he suffered on the cross. He suffered the death of death in dying for his people, shedding his blood. And number two, his blood is precious to chosen, redeemed sinners. His blood is precious to you tonight if you know him. It is precious to you because you know in your heart that he is all your salvation, that you would have no hope whatsoever. You'd be in this world without any hope if it were not for the blood of Jesus Christ, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. That's one way a person may know if God has worked a work of grace in their hearts. Is he precious to you? Is Christ precious to you? Peter said, to you that believe, he is precious. Is Christ precious to you tonight? Is he everything to you? I trust so. David's going to come and